At this church, the reason we clap is because it's a joy to know that we have the ability to honor God with our giving. Since we have it, we can sow it into the kingdom. And so I love clapping for it, because if you ever tap into God's economy, the word will come to pass in your life. I'll show you a man that owed no one but to love him. You won't have to get way in debt. God will get you out of debt. You'll be able to spread the gospel of Jesus. And so at our church, for all the new people, for about 5 minutes every service, I teach about finances. I don't take a salary at our church. God has richly blessed us just by honoring God and believing Him for the finances, and it just makes Him the provider instead of the church. And hopefully in your life, it'll make Him the provider and not your job or your business. I know a lot of people own business in here, and a lot of people spend a lot of time working for finances. But I'm here to tell you, it'll be a lot easier for you. Listen to me. It'll be a lot easier for you if you do it God's way instead of that world's way. Because as the word says, our God owns all the cattle on 1,000 hills. He's got more than enough, and He wants you to tap into His economy. And I hope you know now, by coming to this church for as long as you have, that His economy is a principle called sowing and reaping. In Genesis chapter 8, verse 22, the Bible says, as the earth remains, seed time and harvest will never cease. Now, I know a lot of people will go immediately, since we lived in level land, Lubbock area for a while, we go straight to, you know, the practical sowing of cotton, or they sow a lot of cotton up there, peas and different things like that. And it's talking about that, because if you sow that seed, it's supposed to reap a harvest, right? But it's also talking about every area of your life, including finances. When you sow into good ground, well, let me just read you what Matthew helped us understand in 13, Matthew 13. And about verse 3, it says, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And it gives us different grounds. This, when he sowed, some fell by the wayside. The fowls came and devoured it up. Then some fell onto stony places where it had not much earth. When it sprang up, because it had no deepness of earth, the sun came up and it scorched it, because it had no root and it withered away. Some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked it. Now this is where I'm going, because this is where our seed needs to go. Verse 8, but other fell into good ground. I think that's the key, is making sure it's going into good ground. When you sow into the kingdom of God, you make sure it's good ground. Because trust me, there are ground out there that is not good. And I want good, fertile ground when I sow it in. And look what it says, though, when you sow into good ground, it brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. I like how the Amplified amplifies it out. The seed fell on good soil and yielded grain, some 100 times as much as it was sold, some 60 times as much, and some 30 times. I don't know about you, but I want the 100. And that's not greed talking. That's just being able to bless somebody. I mean, we had people in this church understand sowing and reaping, and that's why they cooked some extra turkeys and was able to give it to families that needed it. Amen. That's what we're supposed to be doing here, y'all. We're supposed to be helping people get to a place where they don't have to have the government help them. Why don't we just have God help us? When you sow the seed through a tithe and an offering, I want you to know this church is good ground. We live right. We do think, matter of fact, we're debt free. And I'm honored to know that we owe nothing on these buildings to the glory of God. And we're still believing. Y'all believe with us. We still need to keep going. I don't know since Heidi is not here, but I think in our building fund account that people has designated funds towards, and we had an auction last year and a cow drop. It's around the $17,000-$20,000, but we can't do anything because just the concrete alone was $36,000, and we're just now getting bids on the plumbing and the electrical, so it's going to be up there. And we're going to wait until it comes in. And so I want you to believe with us. Believe with us that those finances come in so that we can at least start the foundation. And then we're going to continue to believe that the rest comes in to build the rest of that building. And all the building is the kids' church. And it's time we get those kids into a building that's not the announcer stand. Amen. I like when the kids go, amen. So all the kids say amen. Amen. When you give to the Lord, I want you to give to good ground and expect the harvest in Jesus' name. So come give with a big old shout of praise, would you? Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I like that little boy. He looks in there, wow. I remember at a service I was doing in Muleshoe, Texas. Anybody know where Muleshoe is? And anyways, a team roper, and some of those team ropers came and heard me minister. And there's just, we don't ever pass an offering bucket when we minister. We just stick a bucket just like this, and we just, if God puts it on their heart, you know, there's no pressure, in other words, and we've never been accused of doing anything for money. They know where our heart is. I want people saved, healed, delivered, and set free. And so we spend thousands of dollars to travel and tell people about Jesus that no one knows about. And so there's a bucket at this service, and people were going into it, and I remember a team roper. I know who he is. He looks in there. And he comes over to me and says, hey, I'm thinking about doing this. How much you pay? He said, it looked like quite a bit in there. He didn't know there was about 30 ones. But that's what he thought. You must make pretty good money. I said, and he said again, how much you pay? I think I might want to do this. I said, well, just whatever you believe for. And he didn't understand that. I said, yeah, just whatever. How much you need? And boy, his old mind started. Well, I need $2 million. You know? But it's just funny to know what people think when they look into a bucket, you know. Glory be to God. Father, thank you for the people that gave, the ones that give at different times, whenever, to wherever. God, I thank you, Lord, for that seed, that it is in good ground now, sir. Your word says in Malachi to prove us, when we give, to prove you, that when we give, that it's going into ground that will produce a harvest. So, Father, I'm believing that every person that is a giver, that is a tither, that you would prove to them that that seed is good. And it's going to cause the harvest to come in their lives. So, Father, we believe for a 100-fold return. in Jesus' name. Now, you say amen if you agree with that. If you don't agree, that's no big deal to me. That's between you and God. But I want you to believe how God believes. Amen? So thank you for the gifts in Jesus' name. All right. Well, with a big round of applause, I want to dismiss the kids' church as well as the youth group out the back end. Come on, give it to them. Love you guys. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Now, I'm going to wait for just a second. I want everybody that is in the back, all our ushers and people that are helping, I want to wait for them to come to the front and sit in on what I believe God has for us this morning. So, Blake, I want y'all to come and just find you a seat. Tell those ushers, are they visiting? I want y'all to come. I want all the ushers, I want everybody just to come and sit. I want to deliver a message to you without anybody being at the back. Thank you, Lord. I did a little Facebook post this morning, kind of opening up, and I know people are watching, wondering what's going to be preached on this morning. And I want to deliver it with excellence in Jesus' name. Do y'all agree with that? So let's pray over the word. Father, the word is truth, and it makes us free because we believe this word from the front all the way to the back, from Genesis to Revelations. It will not fail us. And sir, your word says, which is now our word, that it will not return void. And so we receive it now by faith in Jesus' name. Say amen if you agree with that. Amen. I want to talk about the last days. We've been talking about the last days. In my spirit, I've been, every time I think about the last days, man, I feel the Spirit of God really, really strong. I feel it right now. I mean, the Spirit of God is in this place. Because we're here in the name that's above every name, Jesus. And He's in the midst of us, the Bible says. We're in the days that there's no time to be playing church. It's time to get serious. We're in times that 2 Timothy talks about, perilous times. I want you to turn there. 2 Timothy in chapter 3. And I want to start talking about not just the end times, but in the end times. If I titled this message for the folks in the back, it would be Hold Your Position. In these last days, we're going to have to hold our position. Yeah, I could think of a mule, you know, used this analogy before, but I have a donkey at the house. And he stayed with the sheep and the goats before I sold them all. Now he stays with the cattle. And I mean, he is stout. He'll run a cow off just to get to the food. And I'm scared of him. But I'm telling you, when you're talking about a mule or a donkey, man, they are sure-footed. And when they, I don't know, you've probably seen on some posts, how a donkey or a mule can kill a lion. I mean, this pot, boy, wham. They're stout. Boy, they can kick. Don't really have what they call a wither. Just withers, you know, that's usually developed when a horse will bend down and eat, and a wither grows up, and that's why they have this saddle made to not touch that wither. And because the wither really helps, you know, for a saddle to balance. And even without out a saddle, you can balance a lot better. But a donkey and a mule usually don't have much of that wither, so they create a little harness around the rear of the donkey so that that saddle won't go to the front and you fall off. May use these mules and donkeys for packing and a lot of things. And I remember one time my dad took us hunting. We had some mules, and man, there would be just one little area, not very wide. A horse a lot of times would be pretty scared to go on down that little path, real narrow. A lot of times it dropped off on both sides. Man, a mule just not no shoes on, just go right down it. Amazing, the sure-footedness of a mule. There's a time when we're going to have to hold our position, especially in these last days. And so, we start learning in chapter 3 about the last days, verse 1, that says, "Know this also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." And then it lists a lot of things that give us the indication of the last days. And so if you've seen this or heard of this, then you know, you ought to be watching and see if this is coming to pass around you. Verse 2, "For men shall be lovers of them of their own selves." In other words, they'll just be a lot of self-centered people. Then it goes on to say, "Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents." I mean, a lot of people can see that, especially if you're a teacher. You see the disobedience and the lack of discipline in some of our kids. I kind of think, which is again a sign of the end times, that it's all based on fear, because we're afraid to discipline nowadays and we don't want to get in trouble. Not at my house. I'm whooping that tail. Amen. I said say amen a little louder. Amen. They're going to get that rod at my house, because it changes a lot of things, you know. And I'll tell you what else changes a lot of the things. Take that phone away. Yep. My son come to me. I said, "You don't need that phone. Put her here." He got in trouble. And he comes to me 2 days later. He says, "Dad, I'll make you a deal." He said, "Give me 2 of the hardest licks you can give." I mean, he's starting to negotiate here, you know. Yeah. Unthankful. Unholy. Verse 3, "Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers." I mean, it just goes on and on. "Fierce and despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness," in verse 5, "but denying the power thereof." And then it says this, "From such, turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses, and they lead captive silly women laden with sin, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." Now, go all the way down to verse 12. "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." Now, this is really where I'm going, because look at me just for a second. I understand that all these things are happening around us. Obviously, it doesn't take a theologian to understand that we are in the last days. I mean, it's upon us. I'm constantly looking at the clouds. My brother's he looks at the clouds and he loves looking at the weather and things like that. And I do the same thing, but I'm constantly looking at them because I know the scripture that says, you know, the clouds will separate and Jesus will appear. After that sound of the trumpet, you know, that archangel. And then it says the dead in Christ will rise, and all of us though here, the elect that are living, born again, Jesus is our Lord, will be called up to meet Jesus in the air. Amen. And I love all that, but I understand that all these things are happening all around us. But here's really where I want to minister to you, and it's found in verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. And then it goes on to declare what most of you already know. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that a man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. But what I want to focus on is some of these words that the Apostle Paul used here when he was writing this letter through the Holy Spirit, by the way. Because really, God through the Holy Ghost didn't reveal these last day things to scare us. No, he showed it to us to prepare us. And you notice in verse 14, it says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and has been assured of knowing of whom thou hast learned them. I want to show you a couple of things, because what I believe we don't need to do is go back to unbelief just because some of these things are happening all around us. No, actually, God wants us to be overcomers. He's showing us all these things to kind of prepare us that, hey, we may be in the last days and we may be seeing a lot of these things happening around us, but don't back up. Don't go back to the days of unbelief. No, stay hooked. Stay put. He wants us to continue in our callings. He wants us to continue in our assignments that he's given all of us. Now, all of you know that when you give your life to Jesus, it's not just to miss hell. That's a good thing to do, though. Say amen to that. You don't want to go there. That's a bad place. And you cannot play cards with your buddies. It's no bueno por nada. You savvy? It is no good. No, really, all these things are just simply to prepare us. And then when we give our lives to Jesus, we have assignments, man. It may just be one person that lives close to you or a family member that God needs you to get born again. But all of us have an assignment. And we need to understand that. Yeah, but I don't know the Bible. I don't know a lot of this scripture. Well, it really doesn't matter. But you need to have the heart to want to know this Bible. You see, it's just not the preacher to preach it to you. It's for you as the elect of God to go out and learn who you are in Christ Jesus. Because I think the reason that a lot of people stay in the tent of unbelief, or they stay in the tents of trials and tribulations, is because they really don't know who they are in Christ Jesus. They just want to call the elders and they want to call the ministers to come pray for you, when in all actuality, you can pray for somebody. You can go to the hospital and lay hands on the sick and cause them to recover. I mean, you can speak life into someone and say, hey, you are the head and not the tail. You are beneath and not, you're above and not beneath. I mean, you don't have to have me because I don't have enough time. I mean, you can go and start declaring the word of God in your life. You can break the curses of generations that is trying to steal, kill, and destroy you. I mean, I can do it. Man, I can come in agreement with a believer of God. Hallelujah. But man, when you say, hey, let's take authority over this situation. And the preacher is just, he's out of the situation. He's gone. And he's in Cheyenne. I mean, he's ministering somewhere else. But man, when you go, hey, let's come in an agreement that no weapon formed against you will prosper. And man, when you look at someone and you've got that faith on the inside of you that God, if God be for you, who could be against you? And when you start declaring the word of God, man, that's holding your position. That's not backing up. Oh man, we're under attack. God help us. You know, well, that's a good thing to call out to, ask God to help you. But there's another thing about holding your position and not allowing the enemy to get around you. And here, Timothy is going through a lot of stuff. Matter of fact, when you study this out, Timothy was in the midst of very difficult times in his life as a pastor. He once had a thriving congregation. Matter of fact, it was the largest church in that region. But then all of a sudden, they elect a new king, Nero, this governor. He's the emperor, and he started instigating a large-scale persecution against the church. And it was terrible. And here, little Timothy's having to go through all this. And the Apostle Paul begins to write him a letter of encouragement. Don't you back up, boy. You stay put and you keep declaring this word of God. I don't care what's going on in your body. I don't care what's going on in your mind. I don't care the attacks that are coming from every direction. You stay put. You hold your ground. So how do we overcome the challenges that we face today? The things that we see, the perilous times that are all around us. How do we overcome the trials and the tribulations that seem to be huge in our life? Well, the Apostle Paul begins to deal with these things, and he uses some very interesting words that I want to talk to you this morning about. In verse 14, he says, but continue thou in the things which you've learned. Now, I believe that God had to start this church to prepare you for these last days. And I believe, and I won't stand for anything less than this word of God being preached behind this pulpit. Say amen to that. Because an opinion and all the other garbage that's out there really will not help you. But this word of God will, you see. And so how can we overcome the challenges that we face? You notice he uses this word continue. And yesterday I went to my office and I began to look up this word continue. And it's a Greek word, meno, M-E-N-O. And here's what it means. It means to habitually abide or stay put. Isn't that funny? That's incredible how God uses some words. And now remember, we just declared in verse 16 that all these scriptures are given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction into righteousness. So here he's using this word continue. and its meaning, habitually abide or stay put. It literally describes someone who will not budge or move from his spot. That it's the same Greek word used over and over and over in John chapter 15. And just hold your place here, but turn over to John chapter 15 real fast. Because this again is the same word that is in the Greek that's used over and over. Verse 7, if you or ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall, this is Jesus talking, and it shall be done unto you. Let me read it again. If ye, that's talking about you and I, shall abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done for you. In other words, if you habitually reside in me, because this is what it's saying, refusing to budge and never moving out of me, and if my word habitually resides in you, never budging and never moving out of you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Now think about that for a second. If the doctor is saying you're going to die because you've got stage 4 cancer, what are you going to say? Boy, you better habitually have that word in you. Because if you don't, you're going to believe what that doctor says about you. You're going to believe in that report instead of believing the report of the Lord. We got to get this word in us. We've got to get it so into us that it's so engrafted on the inside of us. That's James 1 and about 22. That we need to get that word of God into us, man. I'm talking about where it's changing our soulish realm to start thinking like God thinks. So that when we're around all this mess and we're in these last days and when we're around the perilous times and we're going through the valley of the shadow of death and we're right in the midst of the trial and tribulation, that's when we better have this word in us, man. And that's what God's saying here. Continue. Continue, continue, continue. Don't you give up. Because I'm here to tell you, I'm watching people giving up today. I mean, going through a little hard time, they're thinking, well, maybe it's just God's will that I go through this and, you know, that the ranch is taken away from me and that my marriage is, you know, destroyed. No, that's the time when you stand up and you stay put. And don't you let that devil get on top of you. You stay right where you're positioned because you have learned that word. That's when you say to that mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea. Don't you doubt in your heart, but you believe those things which you say will come to pass. You'll have whatsoever you sayeth. You see. That's a good clap. Thank you, Jesus. You see. In other words, this Greek word meno is describing a person making the decision, saying, this is my spot and I will not be moved. Amen. You know what they're doing? They're just trusting the word. I mean, that's all they're doing. It's this word will work for me. They're not dabbling one foot in the world. I don't see that happening anymore. You either all in the world or you're all in the kingdom of God. I didn't say you don't make mistakes. I don't see fence sitters. I see you're either over here, not saying you're not born again, or you're into the Word of God. Well, all of us, that's why you're here at church. You're into the Word of God. Amen. Okay. He uses this second word. Turn back over to where we were in 2 Timothy in chapter 3, because after he says, but continue in the things which you've learned, you've been assured of knowing whom you've learned it from, because we trust in Jesus, right? That from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures. So it's talking about the word of God, which is able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith. in Jesus Christ. I looked at this word wise in verse 15. And Paul was referring to a person who knows the scripture. I mean, I think everybody knows, except one politician didn't quite get John 3:16 right. But he got John 16:3. So I think, what I'm saying is, there's times when we might know for God so loved the world, but that he gave his only begotten son. But what about the rest of the scripture? What about getting into the word of God where when all hell breaks loose in one's life, you can call out on that word? Of course, that's why you're coming to church, to learn the word of God. Man, because when you get this word of God on the inside of you, man, that devil is, he's scared of you. How many of you know he's supposed to be scared of you? We're not supposed to be afraid of the devil. I told this story before, because my dad's mom, she told me years ago, I don't know if she told you, Tim, but she said, now, Corey, when you talk to the devil, don't talk out loud. I said, how come, Mama? She said, because he might hear you. Well, I want you to know that you and I are made in the image of God, and we're made in his likeness. And we're not afraid of the devil. He's afraid of us. But when we get the scripture, the word of God on the inside of us, planted on the inside of us, and we start reading this Bible, and we start taking it as truth like it's supposed to be, not just a book on the coffee table getting a little dusty. Now, when we get this word of God on the inside of us that says, I can do all things through Christ, which gives me strength. I'm more than a conqueror through God because he loves me. When you start getting these scriptures on the inside of you, it causes you to be wise, you see. Wise in the Greek, I looked it up, and it just simply means special enlightenment. In other words, the word of God is able to enlighten us and show us the way to salvation. When you get the word of God and it enlightens you, it's talking about absolute healing. When you get the word of God on the inside of you, it's talking about wholeness. Not just kind of, hopefully I'll get healed. No, I'm talking about, no, I have the word of God that says by his stripes I am healed. Hallelujah. Man, when you get that word, it causes you to be wise. And it causes you to have the saving, the delivering power of God. In other words, in whatever circumstance we're facing, God's word is God's power. And that's what we need today. We need this word that we've been taught all our lives. I mean, some of you have been saved and born again for a long period of time. Don't you back up now. You keep living on what you've been taught. You keep believing this word even in these perilous times. Don't you back up to unbelief. Don't you go the way of the world. No, you stay hooked in God's word because, again, it will not fail you. You keep laying hands on the sick. You keep doing the things of God that he's instructed you to do. You keep doing your assignment, and don't you back up. Don't you back up even one step. No, you keep going forward. There may be some resistance, but thank God that we're victorious in Christ Jesus. You keep moving forward no matter. You just say, God, you gave me this assignment, and I'm not backing up from it. I'm not going back to any kind of unbelief. I'm going to trust this word in these days no matter what. Because that's how we're going to survive in these last days. By not just an inspiring preacher behind a podium. No, we're going to survive by the word of God, the Holy Scripture. And we can't back up. We got to get going forward, man. I'm sure there's people in here that have some great testimonies. Some things that's gone on in your life. Maybe you're going through it right now. This word is for you. Let me close with this. And I want to declare this over everybody here. And since we're in the last days, and we're going to see all these things that are in verse 2 and 3 and 4 and so on, and we're going to be around all of it, Thank God we're protected by the blood of Jesus. You ought to come to Bible study on Tuesday night. They've been talking about the blood. I think I'm going to minister. When am I ministering? Like the 18th of December. And we're going to start talking about the Holy Ghost. We're going to start talking about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I'm talking about, you know, I was raised, you know, where sometimes preachers get a little bit scared to say things because they don't want to make anybody mad and they don't want to get fired. But really the power, when you start learning it, is not from Superman or Batman. It's from this word through the Spirit of God. And there's a lot of things that, and the Lord, he told me because of this church and how he started it, all denominations are here. We are a Spirit-filled church. And all denominations from Baptist all the way to Pentecostal are in this church. I mean, how many of you was raised Baptist? Let me see your hand. See, look at this. How many of you was raised Methodist? Uh-huh, got some Methodists. How many of you was raised Catholic? Look at that. How many of you was raised, let's say, Church of Christ? We have some. Amen. I'm glad y'all are here. Y'all usually crazy. Joni. How many of you was raised non-denominational? Like a lot of us. How many was raised Pentecostal, Assembly of God? You see that? Look at, I mean, just, I probably missed some, Episcopal and Lutheran and what else? Presbyterian? How many Presbyterians we got back here in the back? Amen. All right. Anything else? Nazarene? Who's Nazarene? Who was, Mormon. Do we have people that was raised Mormon and Jehovah's Witness? You see, a lot of people start coming in and getting this Bible engrafted into them, and it starts changing them. And I'm going to start teaching that all the leaders are going to start. They're going to start really going in depth of, you know, the Holy Ghost. We need to start learning. Who is he? He's a person. Matter of fact, you go over to Acts, you find out there's two baptisms. Baptism with water, that's when you give your life to Jesus, the death, burial, and resurrection. Man, when you come out, ooh, you're a new creation in Christ, right? That's what that represents. The death, the burial of the old you before you gave your life to Jesus, and then out of that water. But there's a second baptism. You ought to read the Bible. It's a cool book. You see. I want to declare this. I want to remind you of this. As you see society rapidly deteriorating, I wrote all this down. I want to read to you what the Lord gave me. As you see society rapidly deteriorating all around you and changing or changes coming so fast that you can hardly keep count of them, you need to continue in the Word of God. Habitually abide or stay put where the Word of God is concerned. Regardless of what the world says about what is right and what is wrong, stay put and continue in what you have learned from the Holy Scriptures. For they are able to make you wise. That is, they will fill you with the discernment and the enlightenment that you will need for victorious living in these perilous times. In Jesus' name. So I say stay put. I say don't back up. You continue on the assignment that God gave you. And I know there's a pulling in all kinds of directions of unbelief. Some of you, it might be in your family. But you stay put. Men, I'm going to talk to all the men. It's time that we stand up and be who God has called us to be so that the women don't have to become the man. It's time that God raises up men And I know in this world that we live in, the feminism and those kind of things that have come on to men to try to stop us from being who God's called us to be. I say in Jesus' name, it's not going to work any longer. And we're going to be who God's called us to be in Jesus' name. And then women, you can be who God's called you to be, because trust me, God has called you to go out and spread the gospel of Jesus Christ just like all of us men. And don't you think for one minute, just because there was a correction on one church, that women should be silent in the church. No, he was talking about the one church where the men sat on one side and the women sat on the other side, and the women would yell over to the men to try to get clarification of what the minister was preaching, and it caused a bunch of out of order things to happen. And the Apostle Paul said, women, be silent in the church. And then all of a sudden we make a denomination out of it. We make a doctrine out of it. And we declare that women aren't allowed to do anything. You don't ask my woman that. She'll tell you. But I'll tell you one thing. I run my household as the man. I run the vacuum cleaner. Well, I really don't. But anyway, it sounded good. My brother's like, no, you don't. Rose does that, you know. She works for us. I've been teaching Dalton, my daughter's boyfriend. As good as I can. I got a hold of him the other day, and I said, hey, you been praying? You in London? Y'all been praying together? He says, yeah, we pray for the food. I said, that ain't what I'm talking about. You've been praying? Because, I mean, you start. I said, because it's real important. He's 18. I said, it's real important to be the man and the lead spiritually. Don't let my daughter do it, because she will. And I don't mind that, but you take that spiritual lead, not a control in any other area, but just lead spiritually. You say, no, let's grab hands and let's pray. If your barrel horse isn't working good, let's pray. Jesus' name. If you're insecure about some things, hey, let's pray. For God be for us. Who could be against us? And his old mind got to really think it. But see, that's what I want to teach him. That us men, it's our job to take that spiritual head. Then the women can do a whole lot better that you're designed to do without having to do all of it. Amen. But in this church, we got some men. Amen? We got men. And if you're needing a little help, man, get into this Word of God and say, God, help me to be that man that you've created me to be. I'm not saying you got to be behind a podium and stand up and preach, but why don't you just say, honey, let's pray about that. Man, you want to talk about we'll tickle that woman? Woo-hoo. Well, see, that's what I want to teach that boy. I want to see, I'm teaching him, and then he's learning it so that when he gets old, it won't depart from him. And when he starts going through the trials and the tribulations and the temptation and all the things that happen when they leave mom and dad's nest and go to college, they won't be living in fear. They'll be living in faith. And you watch what God does. He'll bring friends around them, and that's what you pray. It's what we taught them. Friends around that will speak life into them and not death. To build them up and encourage them. Yeah, we don't have to drink. We don't have to be associated with that. And then you won't be alone. See, that's what the Word of God is for, y'all. And that's why we need to stay put in these last days. So no matter what happens, no matter what's going on in our lives, stay put and do what God's called you to do in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise you. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for the Word of God, that it's established in heaven. It's for us here on earth. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, that your word is what we're going to live by no matter what. And we're going to remain on the teaching of the truth of the Word of God. And I realize, sir, that we're taught differently by different people. But Father, just one word from the Word, the Bible, can change anyone, no matter who it comes from. Whether it comes from a well-gifted preacher or just a woman or a man of God that speaks it into the life of somebody. So I ask you in Jesus' name to cause everyone that heard this word to receive it by faith and continue. Stay put. Don't back up from their beliefs from the Holy Scripture, the Word of God. And Father, I thank you, Lord, that you would give every single one of us the desire to get into the Word of God even more, to study this Word. Holy Ghost, teach them. Teach them this word. In the name of Jesus. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here this morning and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, I want you to do it right now. I don't want you to wait another day. If you don't know what would happen to you if you died, you don't know if you'd go to heaven or hell, I want you to choose Jesus and make him your Lord. If you do that, when you die and leave this earth, you die of this flesh, you're going to live somewhere. If Jesus is Lord, you're going to live in heaven. But here's something even greater. While you live here on earth, you can have heaven here. And that's why we have the Word of God. You can have all that here. But you can't have it without Jesus, the Son of God. So I'm asking if there's anybody watching or in this congregation that has never made Jesus the Lord of their life, I'm going to ask you to do it now by praying a prayer with me. And when you pray it, I want you to pray it out loud and mean it. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray the prayer first. I'm going to pray Romans 10 and 9. We're going to confess with our mouths that Jesus is our Lord. We're going to invite him into our heart. And we're going to believe that God raised him from the dead. If you'll pray and ask Jesus to be your Lord, come into your life, you'll be born again. And you can do that right now. All the believers in here are going to pray this prayer with you. So if you're in here, you won't have to pray it by yourself, but when you pray it, you're going to be praying it to God, really by yourself. But you're going to hear us all praying it with you. You ready? If you're watching, you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, I want you to do it right now by praying this prayer. And we'll just pray it with you. You ready? I'm talking to people that has never given their lives to Jesus. Ask him to come into your heart right now by praying this prayer. Out of your mouth, say this. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart and I confess that Jesus is my Lord. Jesus, come into my life and save me. Forgive me of all my sins. I believe you've been raised from the dead. And I'm born again today because Jesus Christ is my Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. With no one looking around, just one last time, if you just gave your life to Jesus and you prayed that prayer for the very first time, you meant that prayer, If that's you, all I want you to do with no one looking, I'm not going to have you come to the front. I want you to be bold enough to say, that was me. I just prayed that prayer by raising your hand up when I count to three. So I'm going to say one, two, three. I want you to be bold enough to say, God, I prayed that prayer. By just raise your hand up. Let me see it. And then just put it right back down. Would you do that? You're saying, I prayed and asked Jesus Christ to be my Lord. And I'm not ashamed. If that was you, get that hand up when I say three. You ready? One, two, three. Go. All right, look at me. I didn't see one hand. Ushers, did y'all see one? Any hands? Next week, I want to see some hands raised. Amen? That means we're inviting people. Or, if you'll just let me know, hey, I got them born again before they got to church. That'd be a lot better too. Amen? I'd be fine if I never see a hand just because, well, I led him to the Lord yesterday. That's fine with me. Thank y'all for coming. Did y'all receive it in Jesus' name this morning? All right, now.